You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Good morning and welcome to Community Connection on Star 94.5. I'm Monica May, and I'm starting to feel a lot like Tom in celebrating Black History 365 because yet again, I just want to share what I've learned about our history. It's continuing to unfold. And I want to share a bit more this morning about the Ocoee riot that took place back in November of 1920. As I researched the day Mose Norman and July Perry were trying to exercise their right to vote and were turned away with excuses from whites, one of them being poll taxes, another citing that Norman had a rifle in his car, I learned that a few weeks prior to the Ocoee riot, there had actually been an incident in Clarcona where most of the whites in that area had gone to a dance. And the story goes that Negroes supposedly harassed those in their home who didn't go. So whites in general were very angry already. Not that they needed an excuse, with race rage being what it was at the time, but that November, these two men being turned away, trying to do what we in a sense neglect, the KKK took it upon themselves to take care of it. They went to Perry's home as he tried to defend himself and family, and he was shot. He was able to shoot a couple of the white men, though, and that I'm sure didn't set well. Norman, hearing of this, checked on Perry and saw that he had been shot. He fled for his own safety. He made it to Orlando, to the home of Reverend Maxwell. Then he fled from there, never to be heard from again. On the other hand, Mr. Julius, or July Perry, was hung, left with a sign for everyone to read that said, "This is what we do to the N-word, to niggas who tried to vote." Horrible, isn't it? But it's history. The story goes on that fires ensued and all property, stores, etc., owned by blacks were destroyed. From that point on, for at least 50 years, blacks did not travel to or live in the city of Ocoee. Now today, years and years later, things are turning around. This is 2018, and Ocoee has just elected its first city commissioner. We'll get to meet him this morning, Mr. George Oliver III, I might add. Second time's the charm, huh, brother? Got one question for you, though. How come it took so long?
Good morning, Monica. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for such a warm welcome into your studios and inviting me here to allow the Central Florida community to get to know who George Oliver really is, beyond the campaigning George Oliver, who his friends see on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, I mean, that's a very interesting question. Why did it take so long for this to happen? And again, I think that it is an issue of people not being engaged in our political processes. And that's people of all nationalities, of all races. So I think that once we were able to see that President Obama and some of his cabinet leadership positions that he installed during his reign in our White House, I think that we have an awakening of people of all races, especially our young people, to realize that we can do more beyond what we've been doing. We can do a lot more. We can visualize a lot more. We don't have to get into sports and entertainment all the time. We can get into the political realms. We can get into business. We can own our own businesses. We can do so much more. We are really empowered to do more these days. So I think that once people start realizing that, and again, we spoke a little bit about my campaign, it was a matter of just me having a lot of opinions about things going on in my community with a now elected official, Senator Randy Bracey. But we had some conversation and he realized I had some opinions and he told me to put my money where my mouth is. So that's kind of how I got in the race. But as far as from 1920 to 2015, what has happened is I think that our landscape in the city has changed quite a bit. We hired our first African-American worker in 1985, I believe.
And that's for the city of Ocoee.
That's for the city of Ocoee. And that was the start. That was the start. So right now, we have a very diverse workforce. But it just didn't reflect in our leadership until 2015 when I announced my candidacy to become the first, I say minority, because again, there has not been anyone of any other nationalities besides Caucasian to hold any leadership positions in the history of the city of Ocoee. So again, that's where the change started.
When we go back to 1920, what George, of course, is referring to is the attempt to break the election cycle in the city of Ocoee, and how you had two men who were going to the polls no matter what, because of what they wanted to do, because of them pushing back against the Klan and pushing back against other probably black people who were telling them, no, don't try, don't try, don't try. They pushed forward. And because of that, that city suffered from the most serious single day massacre in history.
Absolutely.
You know, it's amazing that up until the 80s, there was not a person of color to be a part of the progress of that city.
That's absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And you know, throughout my campaign, I have had people in general make this out to be a black and white thing. They wanted me to basically expose that. And I understand the position that they're coming to me at. However, I never wanted to make this a black and white thing. This is a people thing. For instance, when you decided to move to Ocoee, anyone, the day that you take on residence in Ocoee, that becomes a part of you. The Ocoee massacre is a part of you. So I believe in honoring our past. We have to honor the past. Just as if anyone from the Holocaust or slavery, indentured slavery, whatever it may be, you have to be able to honor that past. George Santiago said that a people that doesn't know their past is doomed to repeat it.
Oh, absolutely.
So again, I come to it from this point of view. We honor our past by recognizing what happened. We don't just talk about it, then set it down, and then maybe talk about another 10, 15 years. No, we honor that past by saying that, yes, this happened. This is a black eye on the city of Ocoee. People lost their lives for the right to vote, the simple right to vote. They were slaughtered. They were burned. They were hung.
Businesses were shut down. Black people who owned homes, they were forced out of the city.
Absolutely. Forced out of the city. And there was no redemption for that. The blood of those people were never redeemed whatsoever. After it happened, yeah, we start talking about it later on here in the 80s and 90s and whatnot. We spoke about it, but nothing was done. Yeah, we had a nice parade, and that's great, you know, but what else has been done? There's been no referendums. None of that land has been given back. No honor has been paid to July Perry's family and those others that died. And I'm sure if we search the historical records, we can get names of those families that had loved ones that died or perished within the Ocoee massacre. So what do we do about it? In honoring that past, we keep talking about it. We identify those names of those people that died. Can we get any reparations? Probably not, because those records were burned and the land was auctioned off to the highest bidder. So that happening, it probably won't happen. But as far as honoring that past, and that's the only way that we can usher in new ideas. We can only bring in this new direction that we're going into is honoring that past. So it's not a black and white thing. It's a people thing. Mm-hmm. It affects everyone. It affects Caucasians. It affects the Hispanic community, the Asian community, the African-American community. That massacre affects us all. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to honor that. So again, the day you take residency in the city of Ocoee, that's a part of you now. Mm-hmm. So again, if you don't want to live in the city of Ocoee, don't want to deal with that issue, don't move to Ocoee. But I think that people understand at this point the history mm-hmm. of where we've come from and where we are now. So in 2015, when I started running for city commissioner, I believe that God has started to redeem that blood. That blood was starting to be redeemed. It wasn't complete until 2018. It was Tuesday, March 13th at 7:30 p.m. God saw fit to redeem the blood of those that had perished in the Ocoee massacre by electing his first African-American leader, commissioner in the city of Ocoee. Mm-hmm. So the message is very simple. It is a message of redemption, honoring our past, redeeming that blood, which has been done. Do we stop here? No. We continue to honor that past day in and day out. Every day I sit on that seat there, I'm honoring the past. Mm-hmm. Now, the message of hope, the hope for our future, the hope to move forward, the hope to usher in new ideas, the hope for other candidates, the high school kid that may not look like me or you or may not be a Caucasian that says, I want to run for office in Ocoee. I want to be able to seek a leadership position in Ocoee. I want to be the city manager of Ocoee, to be the city planner in Ocoee. So now those new ideas, we're able to usher those things in right now and give them hope to do those things now. And that's my job. That's my simple message. Mm-hmm. Hope and redemption.
Now, your campaign was based on what? You went out there. I know it was leadership with integrity. That much I remember. But what are some of the parts of your agenda that you were really running hard on that people believed enough in to pull the lever in your direction?
You know, someone sent a message to me on Facebook, someone that I know, a good friend of mine. She's a Caucasian lady that lives in South Georgia. She's a Bible-carrying, gun-carrying Republican.
Really? And she sent you a message,
She's a good friend of mine. She sent me a message. She says, well, George, let me ask you a question. What else are you running on besides the fact that you are a black man on a ballot, a first black man on a ballot?
Did you even bring that up, or was that the people's part to bring up that you were the first black man?
I knew that. It was a given.
Yeah.
It was a given. Anyone that understood the history of the city of Ocoee, they knew that he has to be the first.
We
have not seen anyone right now from the time they've been in Ocoee. Some people 10, 20, 30 years have never seen an African-American candidate run for any office. So it was kind of a given when I ran. It went without saying.
Thank you. So had she seen what your agenda was?
Living in South Georgia, even though I had placed my agenda out there prior to that question coming up, I had to tell her, you know what, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it at this point in time. So I said, I had a four-part agenda.
Okay.
I ran for city commission in District 4, so I had a four-part agenda. My four-part agenda was simply this: retail economic development. And we talked about that. How do we do that? We look at our mall. I've met with the mall ownership. I've met with the management, and I talked to them about some things that I want to do at the mall. How do we structure the mall, which is a mixed-use mall right now, to bring in one national retailer back into the mall? I said, some of the concept I've seen is Nike has a condensed outlet store that they're putting into the malls that may be economically challenged.
Okay.
And it's worked. How do we work with them to bring in something like that?
Okay.
And once that works, then you have other retailers of national brands that will follow suit because they understand the buying power that we have in the city of Ocoee. So retail economic development was the very first thing that I talk about. The next thing I talk about is education, not in the sense of a traditional education, but educating our citizens to be empowered, to be empowered by the political process, educating them to understand that we have low voter turnouts. And what does that mean to you on a personal basis? What does it mean to your street being paved? What does that mean to your tax dollars being spent in a way that is going to benefit all the citizens in Ocoee? So educating them to understand that they are already empowered. By being a registered voter, you're already empowered. Now you need to exercise that. And I even tell them, I say, look, even if you don't vote for me, just come out and vote.
That's right.
Because that shows that we have the people that are informed enough to get out there. Typically, Ocoee, on an average, in every election, we have less than 1% turnout. We have, on an average, about 6%. Oh, I'm sorry, 0.6% turnouts in all of our elections, from mayor to city commission.
Oh.
We need to change that. Our simple goal is to increase that to 1%. If we can get 1% of 45,000 people to come out and vote, it will be amazing. So people will start to see we do have a voice. We are empowered to do things.
And let me just say, this is not George's first time at the rodeo. He mentions 2015 because that was the first time that he ran, and he missed the mark by 20 votes.
Absolutely.
Not a percentage, 20 votes.
Absolutely, 20 exact votes to the number. So basically what happens, 21 people decided they wasn't going to come out. I think that we had the momentum, we had the support. I believe that people get into
it's a fixed notion.
Yeah, they get into this notion that you know, he's already won.
So
me coming out is not going to really affect anything.
That's what I call a fixed notion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Case in point was my next door neighbor at the time. My next door neighbor had 4 votes in his house, and they just simply forgot to come out. He had a sign in his yard.
And for you, forgot
to come out and vote.
So that was 4.
That would have cut it down to 16. I had a neighbor across the street at 2 votes, and he just simply forgot. So now you're down to 14 votes. And I had people during this campaign cycle that tell me, say, you know, I just didn't make it out. You know, I had to work, I was running late, or whatever the case may be. Well, I just simply forgot to come out and vote. So one of the strategies that we had coming into this year, the 2018 election cycle, was we created signs that said vote today. And we strategically placed those signs throughout the city, even outside the district, the night before the election.
Okay.
And we had,
I mean,
big,
you really
bright
did.
Signs that come out, vote today. The campaign was 2 weeks out. We had signs that said vote March 13th.
Yes.
In addition to our my campaign signs.
We did put you have the same campaign manager second time around?
Same campaign manager.
Wow.
Second time around.
Wow.
Alvin Garrett, just a warrior. He was more passionate about my campaign than I was. I must say he was. He really, really was.
And did you believe you could win?
The very first time?
Either time.
The first time
You were probably like a deer in headlights, almost saying,
I really was.
I don't believe I'm doing this.
Just think about that question, like a deer in headlights. When I think about 2015, it was kind of like a little engine that could. I think I can.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I can. Then something would happen and someone would give me some encouragement. Well, I think I can. You know,
but then you know, timing is God's will.
Absolutely.
And because of that, you've learned so much in these 3 years since that election.
Absolutely.
And so have we about you. So that when the mudslinging, because that was inevitable, would come, we'd be able to better decide for ourselves. The truth.
Yes.
It's a vote against truth. It's a vote against truth.
As Val Demings stated, she said, a dream deferred is not a dream denied.
That's it. It's just delayed a little bit.
Yes. It's just timing. And so I think that when we lost by 20 votes in 2015, I was not a legitimate threat until they realized I lost by 20 votes.
Uh-huh.
So once they realized he only lost by 20 votes, somebody that came out of nowhere has not been a part of our political process in the city. Now, as far as doing things in the community, yes, I've been a coach for Little League Bulldogs. I did that for like 8 years in Ocoee. So I know a lot of the kids. I took a hiatus from my job to do a substitute teaching for Orange County Public Schools just so I can get into our school system in Ocoee. So Ocoee Elementary School, Clara Corn Elementary School, Ocoee Middle School, and Ocoee High School.
Mm-hmm.
I did substitute teaching for 6 months just so I can get inner workings of what goes on in our school system. What are the concerns? Those kind of things. Because guess what? They're our future.
That's right.
Voters.
I was going to say, Parkland has made us very aware of that, the march for ourselves, you know? Let me go back and say that George is not from Ocoee. He's not from Florida, but he's been here the last 16 years. From where?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the military. I met my wife. We started a family here in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And we got married in 92. I was still in the military. I was stationed at the Naval Base here in Orlando. I went to boot camp in 85 at the same base there. I came back in 89, from 89 to 92. And then we left and went to Gulfport, Mississippi, where we stayed there for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of the military and moved to Jacksonville, where I became a network administrator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I did that for a few years, and I got recruited by Microsoft to teach desktop publications in the Central Florida area. So they moved us to Orlando, which my wife was very happy about.
Okay.
So, moved to Orlando, and that was in 97. And from 97 to about 2002, we lived in Richmond Heights, and then we moved to Ocoee in 2002. It was known as a city for good living, and I was kind of hooked on that.
That's what
and
they
the
said,
mall
huh?
was bustling, and there was a lot going on, and you can see the growth. You can see the retail growth. We had sit-down restaurants. We had so much going on in the city, and I decided I want to grow with this city. 10 years after that, I started to see the city kind of declining a bit. The national brands were leaving our mall, and I'm wondering, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it gave me pause to think that our leadership was letting this happen. So my concerns go back further than 2015. It's just 2015 I had to kind of put my money where my mouth was and say, hey, let's stop the bleeding first and let's
put
see how we
can move
forward.
Put the tourniquet somewhere.
Yeah,
put it above the wound and let's just stop it, because some things are inevitable.
Correct.
And to move forward and to move past that scar, you got to just start putting your legs into it, putting your hands into it, and getting
absolutely.
Dirty. We stopped at the second platform agenda item. So what's number 3 and 4 that you ran on?
So
we said retail and then also education.
Number 3 would be responsible leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my campaign was leadership with integrity, but responsible leadership is this simply. Being able to look at our tax dollars, not putting our eggs in one basket, not focusing millions of dollars on, for one, in 2014, the city decided to change our logo. We moved away from the City of Good Living and that logo to the logo that we have now, the flower. And the city spent almost $1 million just to do that, because you got to think about it. Every street sign had to be changed. Every city vehicle had to be changed.
Was that a smart move?
I don't think it was.
Necessary move?
I don't think it was, because it didn't help anyone. It was just a visual aid for us to feel good about something. But nonetheless, it didn't pave one road. It got not one summer enrichment program for any of our children. It didn't help our mall bring any retail economic development back. So it did nothing. I think that when we're talking about responsible leadership, those are some of the things that someone needs to pay attention to. Someone needs to say, wait a minute, hold on, stop. Let's pause that for a minute. Is this really what the citizens really want? They need to have not only an ear, but a voice to go with it. So we talked a little bit before about, we got almost 500 homes being built in my district alone. Each home, you have on an average of 2 cars per home. That's 1,000 cars getting ready to hit our streets. And we have Clark Road, we have Ingram Road, McCormick Road, and we also have a Popkavana Road that has a right-hand turn off into Clara Corn Ocoee. And these roads are not wide enough to sustain that type of traffic. So So while we continue to build, which I am a proponent of building, I believe in moving forward and growing, but we need to do it more responsibly. I think that the money that was earmarked for that, those roads should have been widened prior to allowing them to start building these homes. So within the next year, we got 500 homes and 1,000 cars getting ready to hit our streets, and we have no plans to put up the proper traffic lights, stop signs, to be able to usher that traffic in and out of our city so people can get in and out of their homes. So I don't want for people to start looking at Ocoee as a place to live and say, well, what about that traffic getting in and out of there?
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. So so again, I'm pushing for responsible leadership and being able to not only spend our dollars, tax money, the way it should be spent, but to look at our infrastructures and to make sure that our citizens can get in and out of their homes without dealing with too much traffic.
So would the infrastructure stability have become the fourth one, or was there a fourth agenda item that you ran on?
That becomes a part of my fourth agenda item. We deal with that infrastructure. We also talk about when you're dealing with traffic, it also impedes upon our first responders to be able to get to the place they need to get to. Again, the traffic is so heavy, you increase the possibility of having accidents when a first responder is on his or her way to a traffic accident or a burglarized home or different things like that. So again, that fourth agenda item kind of plays right into that responsible leadership, being able to look at the infrastructure, spending the money where it needs to be spent, bringing on police officers that are trained, making sure that our fire department have the equipment that they need to actually provide the services that they've been providing all along. We have one of the top fire departments in the country. So again, when you add more residents to that, it brings in more challenges for them to continue to be as good as they are, our police department and the things of that nature. One of the things I talked to our chief of police about, Chief Brown, okay, we don't have a helicopter in our city and we rely on Orange County to provide that type of coverage for us. Why not be able to hire someone that is certified in drone operation? So that way you can have an officer that may work the night shift that has a certification in drone operation with a night vision camera on it and maybe a speaker, a loudspeaker, to be able to follow a suspect into a backyard or to some area without officers going in and endangering them as well as a suspect, to be able to say, hey, we see the suspect. We have visual on the suspect. We have been able to communicate with the suspect. He is following our commands. He's laying down in the middle of the yard with his hands folded now, so the threat has been neutralized. So these are some of the ideas that I'm trying to bring to the table so we don't have to count on Orange County to provide air support. We can do it at a fraction of the cost with technology that's already available.
So now with these four very important ones and very strong agenda items to run a campaign on, you're in office not even 30 full days yet. What's been the climate? How have the other commissioners greeted you? What about the mayor in terms of helping you move forward your agenda plan? Because these sound like very good, very reasonable. And I know one more area that is very near and dear to your heart, and that's youth.
Absolutely. So. My inauguration, I have received warm welcome from the city commissioners, particularly Commissioner Wilson, Rosemary Wilson, who's also won her seat for re-election in District 2. So her and I have had some conversation as far as welcoming into the city. Relax, it's going to be okay. We're going to make sure that you're well abreast of all the agenda items that we're pushing forward and initiatives. So the welcome has been very warm. The mayor has given me advice from his perspective. The mayor can be quite colorful at times. Do we always agree on everything? No, we don't. I think that the citizens needed someone in office that would be able to go against the status quo.
Okay.
It's kind of a slogan too, a kind of inside slogan, say no to the status quo. I think the mayor understands that about me. And I think that they're still trying to fill me out, just like I'm trying to fill them out. I believe that we all have one goal in common, and that is to move our city forward and to work in a manner that is going to be conducive for all the citizens in the city of Ocoee.
And you said something before. You said we are not Winter Garden. We need to act and remain like Ocoee.
Yeah, absolutely. We have kind of placed a lot of our focus and our agenda on our downtown project. And everyone who's visited downtown Winter Garden, they have a beautiful downtown. I love downtown Winter Garden. I love the entertainment, the restaurants that they have there. And Ocoee seems to want to model our downtown similar to the Winter Garden's downtown. And I think that's great. It's okay. But we can't deploy eggs in that one basket to say, hey, you know what? This is a 20-year project. So a lot of us are sitting in the office right now, probably won't even see it.
You see it?
Won't even see it. But again, it's okay to move forward those initiatives. However, we want to be able to look at things that we can do right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can still earmark money for our downtown project and continue to move that forward, but don't put all the eggs in one basket. What about our kids that have nothing to do in the summertime?
And that's where I wanted us to end up this conversation, because you're coming back. You're going to use this door as a revolving door and make sure you come on back here too, please, my brother. But one of the things that I loved when we were off mic is that you said you did a ride-along.
Yeah. When I started looking for new ways to advertise my campaign in 2018, one of the things I did was I went on Facebook and I started looking for groups in Ocoa to be able to say, hey, I'm running for city commissioner, come out and support me. I never got any further than my first group that I ran across was Teenagers Bored in Ocoa.
Yeah.
I saw that and that just threw me aback. Like, what do you mean bored in Ocoa? There's things to do in Ocoa. So I reached out to the young lady that posted it. And she was like, well, we don't have anything to do. Look at our mall. Where did I go? I don't have a summer job. I mean, and it really kind of touched me. And I told her, I says, once I win this election, I didn't say if I win. I said, mm-hmm. once I win this election.
Mm-hmm.
So the climate changed from 2015 to 2018 to I think I can to I know I am.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it became that. And I started looking at that. What do we do? How can we do this? So I start thinking about ways once I'm elected to be able to promote programs such as internship, paid internships, maybe through our Parks and Recreation Department, Human Resources, Finance Department, IT Department, to be able to fund at least 6 high school kids to come and work in the summertime
mm-hmm.
and to get paid to work. And not only that, they're learning a skill, they're making contacts, they're a part of the inner workings of our city government. They're already empowered, but now they can see how it works and how do I get involved.
Mm-hmm.
So if they decide not to work for the city of Ocoa when they graduate, after when they go to college, whatever, they decide to come back. But at least they understand how city government works and how that they can be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, my first event, I'm pushing for a 5K run walk using the mall as a platform to be able to get people out and say, guess what? Our mall's still open. You come for the 5K run, but the mall is still open. We're still here.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to have that 5K run to create the scholarship money or to create the funding for those 6 jobs. And beyond that, to be able to send some of our younger kids, our middle school kids and our elementary school kids to summer camp at our Jim Beach Rec Center.
So now when is this walk?
I'm scheduling the walk for June 2nd. Okay. So I'm still trying to make sure that that is going to be the great date. And I'm still in the process of shoring it up with our city attorney, making sure we can create the foundation for it, which, again, none of our commissions have a budget to push forth community initiatives. And I thought that was kind of strange. So, again, I'll be the first to create a foundation, modeling Orlando Strong to be able to create a foundation for our city commission, not just me, but for all the commissioners.
Sure.
To say, hey, look, we have initiatives in our city, in your district, in my district, that we need to push forward. So how do we raise money responsibly to be able to push forth those initiatives?
Mm-hmm.
So if the city won't give us a budget, we're able to at least create those budgets ourselves within our sunshine laws.
So if you're just tuning in, George Oliver III, the very first African-American city commissioner for the city of Ocoee, just elected last month. He is a pharmaceutical compliance monitor. To me, that says that this is a brother who's really smart. He has his MBA. But on top of the MBA, he went back and got 2 additional associates to give him the legalese that he needs for the compliance part of his job. He and his wife have been in the Ocoee area for 16 years. And several years ago, one of our state senators said, man, you got a lot of opinions there. You need to put the pedal to the metal and do something with it. This is his first time being with us on the air here at Star 94.5. And Brother George, you have got to come back.
Yes, absolutely.
Please.
Absolutely, yes.
Please, please, please. And let us know however Star 94.5 can be of assistance to you, because we want to be the people's station. We want to get the information out.
Thank you so much, Monica, for having me here this morning. I want to thank the station and the listeners out there, especially the people that voted in the city of Ocoee. I want to thank you guys for allowing me the opportunity to serve you, not just District 4, but the entire city of Ocoee. My brand is hashtag One Ocoee, and I'm hoping that the city would actually use that brand to bring us all together.
That's good.
As one.
That's good. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you so much, Monica.
And thank you for listening to another edition of Community Connection on Star 94.5. Pastor Reva Timms is up next with the Glory of Gospel.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.